This is Betty now? Yeah, okay. This is a continuation of book Roman numeral 12, starting with May 22nd, when I'm still struggling with purifying haptoglobin using a Dowex column and trying to wash the column with acid and water after removing previous material with concentrated sodium chloride. I'm evidently having trouble, but it looks as if there's going to be a solution later on because it says, but see May 27th. The next couple of pages are some more family studies or starch studies. I think they're actually starch studies. And then on Thursday, May 23rd, I have two interesting things. I have a circuit diagram that comes from my friend Les Pinterich, which is aimed at having a speaker make a sound with conductivity measurements. I think that's basically what it's for, although there isn't much comment on it. The only comment being that it's by Les, my friend Les Pinterich, who was an absolute wizard with radio and tube radios and tube electronics in those days. Though of course the transistor has not been invented yet. So I'm still trying to get the samples prepared as I enter on Thursday, May 23rd. Continuing on the next page or two. No improvement at the serum level, though the serum level is okay. Friday, May 24th, a different Dowex, or at least it's made Dowex 2 hydrochloride. That's a positively charged resin, and set up with lot 1 of Dowex and lot 2, etc. I think it is the Dowex, the same Dowex, just some different lots of Dowex. Though I think obviously think one is better than the other. Continuing the same, but first try column application and fairly complicated set of entries here, all aimed at the same problem. With the comment on one page that the results are still not good enough, but one factor has not yet been watched carefully enough. That is the minimum amount of resin to be used. On one experiment it was 10 mils, and another one, the best of all, it was 45 mils. And yet another was good, and this was 10 mils, so I'm not understanding it. So, with the comment, however, that Dowex 2 hydrochloride lot 2 with 10 mils is fully satisfactory, and study it carefully. Here's one notice that there was lots of haptoglobin obtained on May 16th, May 21st entries. Haptoglobin 3 pluses, plus or minus, so lots of haptoglobin. Wondering whether the acetate is as good as the hydrochloride. And looking at 5 mil resins instead of the larger amounts. Continuing with this general problem. return to a different sort of problem with inquiring about the changes of outdated plasma or serum. Got some large two bottles, 500 mils of outdated whole blood that I could get and try for making haptoglobin, basically, is what I'm trying to do. I'm also asking whether hemoglobin, haptoglobin, can be removed from serum by the resin, either as haptoglobin or haptoglobin hemoglobin complex. May 29th, I got some material from Dr. Charles, two samples, but abandoned too much hemoglobin. More entries, more samples from different persons. Nothing very remarkable. An attempt to understand the effect of pHs. Thursday, May 30th, well, pH of 4.3, put in quotation marks on 4.5, meaning that probably it's a nominal, not measured pH, and pH and 5 and 5.5. And at 4.5, there's a note that it's almost pure haptoglobin, so it's fairly clear that the pH matters. And the conclusion is a rough examination suggests that the haptoglobin level is constant, but the fast impurities decrease markedly as you decrease pH. And there aren't any impurities at pH 4.5. So repeat with formic acid, etc., etc. Noting on Friday, May 31st, and it's quite common. I used to be very happy with this idea that formic acid has a pK of 3.75, near enough 4, and acetic acid has 5, and so on. And using different acids around their pKs to get good control of pH. So there are some calculations of the pH and using formic acid on Friday, May 31st. And then it's still working on the weekends, actually. Saturday, June the 1st, some well-washed samples were studied. Nothing very remarkable in here. Several pages more of this general approach. Though it's fairly clear now that I'm narrowing down to using a fixed pH, and that using that I can get pretty pure haptoglobin with the Dowex resins, and nothing to do with affinity chromatography, just ordinary ionic adsorption and dilution. Telegram from Charlie Hickman. About the animals' samples. That was just prior to June 4th. In fact, the date is probably given there. I can't read the date on the telegram. I dialyzed some serum to get it to pH 4.6. Having some troubles noting this, all the impurities are missing. pH 4.7. May have to work in the cold, that proved to be completely unnecessary. Got some very nice plasma June 4th. Still worrying about pHs in this period. Checking whether there was chromatography along the resin on June 6th. Still continuing. With the resin, extra resin, abandoned this method. Not at all uncommon to find that abandoned this or abandoned that. pH 4.3 experiment is confirmed exactly, and as usual, tube number one is almost pure haptoglobin. Comments on dialysis. Still worrying about whether there's chromatography on June 7th. Before the sodium chloride tests, I must settle the chromatographic question, whether there's chromatography occurring or not, or just adsorption and dilution. Tried an inverted column for some reason or other. Still fairly happy with the method. Not much is changing, it just looks like what one might call fine tuning. Rather strange result on Tuesday, June 11th, a pH 4.3. Trying to extract with thousandths molar sodium chloride, but nothing came off, nothing visible, completely negative. And with the comment shortly thereafter that outlined in red crayon, sodium chloride must be greater than 2,000 molar. Another bottle of blood, another one, keeping going, and an experiment now using 0.05 molar sodium chloride. As hoped for, zero haptoglobin, and this is 0.02 molar and 0.05 molar. I think this is related to washing the column, not emulsion, but we'll see. Three bottles obtained June 17th, that would be my sister's birthday. TGH is noted here and there, it'll be Toronto General Hospital. It's referring to a family study June 24th. June 25th. Oh no, these are a cattle actually. These are almost certainly cattle as well. A23, A22, A9, 18, 17, a large number of sample. And that ends this book. With also a little family observation. Friday, June 28th is the end of the book. And this is a Roman numeral 13, physical 13 book, starting in July 1957 and running through September. The first entry being July 4th, 1957, with notes on a family there, and the same in the next 2-3 pages. Several family studies are recorded, and then a usual confirmatory gel being run. On a few days later. Evidently, at this time I began to receive samples from Aborigines and Torres Islanders. The Aborigines are Australian Aborigines, and the Torres Islanders are, I should know where that is, but I don't know where it is anymore, but I can find out. I'm receiving samples from Aborigines, which are Australian, and Torres Islanders, and they're from the islands between Australia and New Guinea, and had been isolated for a long time. Both the Aborigines, the Australian Aborigines, and the Torres Islanders are long ago. Been in these areas before the British or similar invaders came. So there's a whole set of observations on these, just still concerned mainly with haptoglobin. On the right-hand side, on the left-hand side of this page, I'm talking about clear split beta, very clear split beta, fairly clear split beta, and this is the beginning of understanding or typing variations in transferrin. Family study in here, a couple of pages. And there's still more Aborigine samples being looked at. Thus the Aborigines data are self-consistent in various checks, looking at the frequency of the haptoglobins. This is what this refers to. The observed distribution was 2 ones, 10 2 A's, and 11 2 B's, and that assuming that they were randomly distributed, that gives the frequency of the two genes that can be calculated. It's a rather naive calculation, I would now say. But split betas, which are the transferrins, are recorded very clearly. And compared with the Douglas Negro split beta from a long time earlier. And some fat stains are studied, July 15th. I was always continuing those sorts of things on the side, different stains while doing other things. That oil red O and oil blue N are still the best. Oil red O always comes out well. And now I'm testing in the Aborigine samples with two-dimensional electrophoresis, which is the only reliable way of establishing the transferring differences. Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, July 16, 17, there are two very nice two-dimensional gels. Some comments on the type of filter paper, but it's very easy to see that the split beta, as I was calling it. More lipid stains being talked about again. Adopt oil red O and oil blue N mixture for staining for lipids. And trying to stain for insulin. Gordon Romans, who was a colleague in the production side of the Connaught Labs, has a green dye which appears stable, and so he gave me this to try. Trying a new lot of starch at the same time. Studies of insulin again, still not completely given up all insulin work. On July 18th, various tests with insulin to see whether I could establish something of importance. Back to two dimensionals again, Thursday, Friday, July 19th, two very nice two dimensional gels. Both of the samples, as the comment says, have beta 1 and beta 2, as I'm beginning to call them, and the photograph them, and there are good photographic images. Nice to see the records in this way. I remember how enjoyable it was to get good photographs. Still trying to improve the two-dimensional separations. We're doing various things to keep the first dimension on filter paper in good shape. Complicated insulin staining test. More dye tests, nothing very striking. Amylase studies, insulin staining again, thiazine red R, the formula for it, and bromphenol blue, the formula for it, and amido black 10B, which of course became our and remained our standard for many years. Some sketches of the insulin results, July 22nd, and again more two-dimensional. Checking of aborigines again shows A21 has split beta, missed it in checking originally, so two dimensions on it, and also another one, so a good result obtained with it. A21 confirms split beta. Sketches of insulin separation. I never led to anything. Whole review of two-dimensional thing studies. Looking at the haptoglobin typing, and with one little comment, this one is a classic Negro 2A, but also has beta 1 and beta 2. So that's a haptoglobin 2A modified, I think we later called it. And on the following page are some good photographs of two-dimensional gels. Pointing out where there's hemoglobin, where there's no hemoglobin, etc., etc., and the two beta globins. More two-dimensional gels. One that is not a beta 2 gels are run. I'm showing no beta 2, so it's showing some samples that on two-dimensional gels just show the single, as we later find out, transferrin. At this point, I began to use a simplified technique. Instead of running a two-dimensional gel on the whole of the, taking a large square gel and taking the whole of a filter paper strip, I realized that in order just to type the beta globins, it was easier to use a small gel and cut the filter paper sample to include only the region where beta globin runs, and in this way one could run them much easier, run the samples much more easily, because you could do essentially two-dimensional gels using small one-dimensional the one-dimensional apparatus, because I was only wanting to look at that region of the total pattern. So Thursday, Friday, July 26 is actually quite an important beginning of what later on enabled Otto Hiller to study several hundred samples by two-dimensional gels, which would have been extremely laborious using the big gels, but was relatively easy using the smaller gels. It still was hard work, but not impossible. Tested another dye on July 29. Now here is the beginning again, now realizing this, pursuing this, what I call mass two-dimensional tests, Monday, Tuesday, July 30th, where many samples were run at the same time and only the beta globin part was picked out, and so there are three, four gels there. It's not really perfect, but I think one can see that three of them are have an ordinary transferrin and ordinary beta, as I was calling it still then, and one had the double one. Not actually a very good result yet, but it's the beginning of the thing. Getting better Tuesday, Wednesday, July 31st. With a comment in red crayon that all the two-dimensional multiple gels to this date were photographed. Or have been photographed, and there are some gels from Glyn Carroll and Paddy Cannon, which are just beta globin C, as I called it, only beta globin C. More tests again on Thursday, Friday, August 2nd, with two-dimensional the what I call them multiple two-dimensional tests. All four samples on that day had only a single beta globin. Always testing starch, August 7, a little family. Tried some Tris buffer. Which these suggest that these suggest decreasing the Tris is not very useful. These were samples of insulin. Nice set of results. Tuesday, Wednesday, August 6th, where they are. It's clear that the entries were, that these are more being done by Otto, I think, although I was probably doing the photography, I'm not sure exactly. But all of these were, none of them were had the double beta. Here's an interesting observation. Wednesday, August 7th, haptoglobin purification with a 55 mil resin and 22 mils of serum. And it was dialyzed serum that had been left for nearly 2 weeks in the cold, and it frozen and thawed and rather poorly handled. But nonetheless, using the usual method putting onto a washed Dowitz column and extracting with 0.1 mole of sodium chloride, collected 5 tubes and ran them. And it says enough haptoglobin in numbers 1 and 2 to use, with a comment, surprisingly stable protein. So it was a fairly now a fairly well established method of making haptoglobin: absorption to Dowitz resin and elution with sodium chloride. Hemoglobin was not involved at all. Still trying different filter papers for the first dimensional dimension of the filter paper electrophoresis on Wednesday, August 7th and 8th, and comments on which filter papers were better, whether they streaked and etc. etc. Whether they whether there was anything left at the origin, whether they streaked, etc. etc. Trying to make a synthetic medium instead for the electrophoresis in applying the sample. I tried Perspex spheres, vinyl chloride, vinyl acetate, and starch grains, etc. Triacintered block, etc., etc. Not the answer. Treated filter paper again, being looked at. Narrowing the choice of filter paper down, 598 YA and 3mm were. Oh, that's 598 YD, that is, and 3mm papers treated or not treated, was being investigated. And I tried plaster, CSH plaster. CSH is Charlie Haynes. For use in applying the sample to the gel. Modified filter paper, etc., on August 12th. Human results are disappointing, August 13th. Although the bovines are very good. This was actually a test on the August 15th or 13th, was just testing a new Danish starch. So the human results weren't as nice as I wanted, but the results with the cattle blood was cattle plasma was very good. More tests with zinc insulin. Friday, August 16th, talking about, in view of the rather disappointing results on aqueous Danish starch, which gives a highly glazed final gel after staining, and because unhydrolyzed Idaho gave the best results on bovine beta-globins, I decided to try adding unhydrolyzed starch to the Danish and see whether it helped. I still don't, I think I had not realised, and maybe I never did completely realise, that a lot of the problems with the beta globins was on the amount of iron which was present in the sample or in the starch that was used. Freshly prepared Dr. Hill Bet serum was tested Thursday, Friday, August 23rd, and fairly good as far as beta globin is concerned. Two dimensional gel with and without hemoglobin was also didn't affect the beta globin. The photographs there. And then on Saturday, August 25th, I'm trying to control the hydrolysis of the starch, the aim being to produce a chemical test of correctly hydrolyzed starch. And so testing the total glucose of the supernatant during the hydrolysis, but it looked unpromising. It didn't work very well, though I wanted to find a method of controlling things. Working at quite small differences, as indicated by Monday, August 26th, but that starts with 21.5, 22.5, and 25.5 hour hydrolysis. So it's fairly critical to get the best hydrolysis. Trying to do some dye stability tests with amida black, thiazine red, and nigrosin, but it was not very well done, although I do have the comment abandon amido black, and I know that wasn't the final result, but I must have thought that the thiazine red was much better in the stability of ability to stand washing with methanol and acetic acid, 45% methanol or 30% methanol. and with or without tannic acid in the skin. And trying to add the dye with a comet, not a good idea. And I thought that in general it's quite interesting because it's quite contrary to what eventually happened. A general comment that no use testing a meteor black anymore. Or maybe it's that I always get a certain result. Although I obviously have some worry about it because I have a circle comment that a meteor black is no good on these tests either. 50-50-10 was what we eventually adopted, which was 50 volumes of water, 50 volumes of methanol, and 10 volumes of acetic acid, glacial acetic acid. 50-50-10 was our final washing solution, and we did use a meteor black. Set up on August 28th, still worrying about it, set up a new series of tests with 50-50-10 versus 35-65-10, increasing tannic acid with three different dyes. Thursday, Friday, August 29th, 30th, some samples in two dimensions of Aborigine samples. The Carroll family and the Lawrence family. Wondering about fractionating the starch. Tuesday, September 3rd. He was Charlie Haynes was an expert on starch fractionation, so I talked to him quite a lot about that type of topic. No indication that this was helping. A pathological sample on September 4th. The Torres Strait Islanders being looked at, they were all 2B. The two-dimensional gel is not very good, but they don't have any variation in the beta-globin in this particular group. Confirms that they were 2B. They're rather poor results, I would say, by current standards. And trying mixtures of amylose and amylopectin, which is in fact the controlling factor in the variation in starches from different potatoes, the ratio of the linear polysaccharide amylose versus the branched polysaccharide amylopectin controls the cross-linking of the gel and therefore its gelling properties. So if it's pure amylose, my recollection is that it will not gel. Although that's not what I say here in this entry, September 4. Increasing amylose leads to gel formation. This is amylopectin and amylose. Probably the hydrolysis forms more linear chains and less branching network. My current interpretation is confounded a little bit by knowing that you can change polyacrylamide properties very much by varying the amount of bifunctional polyacrylamide versus linear acrylamide to change the cross-linking. But here I'm struggling with this. A gel being made with 100% amylopectin, 80-20, 60-40, 40-60-20, 80, down to 100% amylose. And the viscous solution was obtained with amylopectin, and the gel was obtained with amylose. So this is the reverse of what I would have expected from polyacrylamide, but I did understand that the ratio mattered. When 6% amylose gave an excellent gel, 4% quite good, not very strong, and 2% didn't gel at all. So the effect of the ratio was there. The samples were Reese samples from presumably given to me by Reese. No, it's it is a person, W. R. Reese, and who had given me these samples of amylose and amylopectin. Getting towards the end of the book, some more. Mini two-dimensional gels or of various Aborigine samples. Bovine serum and family possible mother. Abandoned starch papers, September 5th. Which had been tried in addition to 3mm paper. And still interested in the amylose business. September 5th, repeated the amylose preparation. I'm trying to put agar around the 3mm paper in the sample slot, but didn't work very well. various tests of that same type. 3mm paper plus bovine for starch and distilled water, 3mm plus bovine for, etc. And with a comment on the left hand gel was not kept, the right hand gel was kept. Thus, the only technical problems for slow alpha 2 now. But beta is uncertain. I'm not clear what that meant, but still not quite happy with separation. And this book ends, you know, with an experiment using polyethylene filter pads. And the half millimeter sheet is indistinguishable from the best filter paper results, but shows that the slow alpha 2 has mechanical streaking, meaning that the filter pads have places where they touch and don't touch, and the betas are excellent. But that is the end of this book on Wednesday, September 11th.